Hi everyone, welcome to the Drunken Whalers, the show where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored and remember the opening. I'm Sarah. I'm joined as always by Claire. We haven't recorded in like a month or something, so I'm doing great.
I think we recorded like the very first week of January.
Yeah, and it's the first week of February, so it's been a month.
I'm confirming. Yeah, you're correct.
Oh, okay.
I was not trying to tell you were wrong.
Good, because I've never been wrong. I'm not a fool and I've never been wrong.
Okay. Uh-huh. Sure. Let's continue.
Today we're talking about the last mission of Death of the Outsider. It's called A Hole in the World.
Oh,
that's probably fine. Yeah.
Great. I didn't look.
I would never expect you to know things.
Thank you. I don't. Yes, so where we last left off, we robbed a bank. Wait, was that last mission? That can't be right.
Yeah, you robbed the bank.
No.
It was the Royal Conservatory.
That seems like we've missed a step here.
Oh, yeah, you robbed the bank, and then you went to the Royal Conservatory to find out stuff about the cult, I guess? Is that why we were there?
Yeah, we robbed the bank and found a weird silver graph, and that dude.
Also the knife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stole the knife. That dude, Cienfuegos, was like, oh, I sent some documents to the Abbey for safekeeping. And we were like, wow, I want to go steal those. But I don't remember what they were. But that doesn't matter.
It was Silvergrass, I think, like, just of the cult's, like, compound. And he found out that it was at Shandere Peak, which is an old mining situation.
Yes. So then we clicked on our little suitcase. And it took us immediately to Shandere Peak.
I wish traveling was just like you clicked on your suitcase and you were just there.
Oh, it would be so convenient. I would see you so frequently were that the case.
I know. That would be great.
Well, unfortunately, we live in this world.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in this world either.
That's a great point.
The Dishonored world.
There's like a lot of rats.
Yeah, there are so many rats. Yeah, do you want me to read the intro? I have the intro.
I also have the intro.
Do you want to read it for once?
Sure, I'll read the intro because I actually wrote it down this time.
Beautiful.
All right. There's a darkness at the center of all things. It'll change you if you think about it too much, but it's always there. It waits for you. When I was in hiding, I tried to forget everything that I was. Now I aim to keep my promise to a dead man, someone who meant the world to me. Sometimes I still hear Dowd's voice echoing through the metal of this miserable knife. This is the strangest, most important thing I've been through, and that's saying a lot. There's a mining complex on Shandere Peak, somehow so obscure that most people don't believe it exists. That mad cult lives there, protecting the one place that could bring me face to face with the Outsider himself. Years ago, I heard Dowd talking about the void, the fear that grips your throat, bends your spine. But I can't turn away now. What will we have left if the Outsider is gone, his name lost to the void? Tonight, I'll find out if he can still bleed.
It's a little intense.
It is super intense, and like, Billy sounds like so miserable, and I was like, there's no way I could ever gonna be able to like put the same amount of like misery and like grit that she has here, and this voice acting into.
Listen, she's having a horrible time, and her dad is dead.
Yeah. Like, when she says that line about, like, she still hears Dowd's voice, she's like, this miserable knife. And I was like, damn! Okay.
I mean, how would you, not to bring up the Untamed, but how would you feel if you had a cursed knife that was talking to you?
Like, pretty good. I'd have a friend.
I would not, okay, well, that's the transistor way of looking at it. I personally would not be into it.
I guess it really just all depends on what the sword is saying.
Yeah, that's true. I think it often depends on what the sword is saying.
Well, in this case, I don't think it's great. And the whole intro is, like, overlaid over, like, really horrible scenes of, like, Billy sitting alone, like, against rocks and, like, obviously traveling to Shandere Peak. So it's just depressing as all shit.
She's just, you know, lonely. It's fine. Her dad, again, is dead.
So dead.
And she doesn't seem to really have any friends, so, except maybe the Empress, but that's complicated.
Yeah, and she's not really, like, told the Empress what she's doing, or even has gotten enough to send a letter.
she wrote her a whole note and then crossed it out. It's fine.
That seems
They're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so you start off in this little room, I guess, in Shandere, and it sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I mean, I guess it's probably where Billy just ended up landing to spend the night. And she gets up and she's like, damn, let's fucking do this. And the outsider pops up. Fucking smug bastard.
I love him. he says that here, the void is closest to the surface of reality, breaking through and spilling out all the fear and power the Abbey of the Everman tries to hide. And then is like, oh, you've uncovered more of it than most, and now whatever you do here is going to change the world. And Billy is like, I hate you.
Ah, she's so valid.
Yeah, well, she's like, oh my god, you're here again. And then she says that she used to wonder if he'd speak to her, and that every street kid, like, wanted him to speak to them. And, like, why didn't he? Why did he pick her now? And
it's actually really good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
I love her.
Mm-hmm. And then there's one line I really liked where the outsider said, people have come to this place for centuries wanting many things, to elude death, to seek forbidden knowledge. They're never satisfied, no matter how much they take. Not even the dead find peace here. Yeah. And then, mostly just intriguing for lore reasons, he says, you'll find another relic in the cult's heart, a piece of whatever god came before my time. It's like, woohoo. I love another god.
Love that there's another god suddenly. Haven't heard about that, but I'm chill with it.
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, you'll find, you know, murders and my history and other gods. And you're like, wow, that seems like a lot, actually. Like, can I go home? You seem like too much.
And then Billy turns and goes home, and it's fine.
Yep, she just leaves.
Yeah, and so he's basically like, hey, here's this, like, hey, remember that how I got murdered here? Because I got murdered here. And you have the knife, and maybe you can find my name if you care to look. And Billy is like, why are you telling me this? What do you want? And the outsider says, we both know how a mob can justify murder to themselves. Who I was or what I wanted never mattered to the cultists here. I won't speak to you again. The next time we meet, you will be face to face with what was done to me all those years ago. Your mind echoes with everything that Dowd wants you to do. But I'm here to say that you have a choice, Billy Lurk. And then he leaves before telling you what that choice is or what he's talking about.
But you do get a little, like, mission marker that says either kill the outsider or find another way.
Find another way!
Which is, like...
Because this is Dishonored.
This is the most, like, in-your-face way that they've been like, hey, you don't have to do murder.
Well, it is interesting because it's like in every other Dishonored game, this would be like, yeah, I get it. There's a non-lethal choice. But it's like there kind of hasn't been that as much in this game where it's kind of just like, I mean, you can do whatever.
Right. Like, it's not really like there's no chaos system here.
Yeah. But it's like they very explicitly call out like, yeah, like you could not do a murder if you feel like it. Like if you really feel like it.
Well, I do feel like it. I want to murder God. Let's go.
All right. Well, I support that, personally. I mean, not in this case, but in general.
Thank you. But yes.
Don't kill the outsiders.
I did. So you can leave this sad little room. And it's, you know, it's just basically a fucking abandoned mining village. There's, like, some hounds wandering around. And you can, like, jump through broken windows. But it's just an abandoned mining village.
Yeah. And the whole place is kind of, like, voidy and breaking apart, like in the set, like there's like those hollows throughout the world, like everywhere now, that are like you can like click on them and they like shift between times, but like this whole place is like a little bit like that. Yeah. Like there's a whole statue that's just like disappearing and reappearing, and it's like this place seems bad maybe.
And if you
also there's
what
Oh, there's cultists wandering around.
Okay, well I was gonna say in regards to the whole this place seems bad, if you, like, poke around, like, the bunks and stuff, you can find, like, newspapers and diaries. And, like, there's one diary or, like, letter where a former miner's, like, messaging his sister. He's like, I know you don't believe me, but I saw it again. The air split apart and then sealed back up. And the rest of the day, I couldn't see faces. Like, all the other miners, like, their mouths and nose and eyes blurred together like a bad silver graph. I can't keep going down there knowing what I might see. Please, you have to believe me. And I was like, sir?
Sir? Sir? Yeah, and there's, like, newspaper articles about how, like, there was, like, a silver rush, basically, at Shindere, and they, like, were like, workers, come to Shindere, there's money. And then there was, like, further newspaper articles where it was like, there's problems at the mine and, like, mass hallucinations, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. Like, they talk about, like, serious, serious hallucinations, like, where, like, large swaths of miners keep, like, stumbling into huge cleared quarries that then they did not create. And it's like, wow, Guess I understand why this place has been abandoned.
Yeah. And also, if you talk to the rats, they'll be like, they'll basically tell you that there's people that are turning into stone, from their perspective, it's really good to eat people who are, like, are flesh, but it's bad to eat people who are made of stone.
I mean, that's fair.
Which, I guess if I was a rat, I would agree with that. Anyway, that's probably fine.
Yeah. So you could just keep wandering through. I just avoided the hounds, because it's, like, really too much effort to kill them, and...
Also, it makes me emo. They're just puppies. Dog noises. There's puppies that want to kill you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sneaking into their house, so...
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, so then you can continue along the way. There's really not a lot in this area, except for, you know, shit's spooky. And then you can see near the entrance to, like, a big gate. Some dude has just been shot, because he's been talking to and feeding rats. Like, the lonely rat boy in stories is what he said, which is actually, like, really sad.
That is extremely... Can you... I think you can stop him from getting shot.
You might be able to stop him from getting shot, but he dies of his wounds either way.
That sucks.
This guy's name is Antero. He has a very small page on the Dishonored Wiki, because I did not manage to stop him before he got shot. I was like, oh, I'll go see what happens. And the answer is he dies from his wounds either way.
Well, so you know, sometimes nothing matters. Anyway, that sucks for him. This cult seems fine.
Yeah. So basically, like, two other cultists... like, shoot him, and they are like, this is what you understand, and, like, this is what you deserve, because, like, it goes against our tenets to seek solace in mundane things. And I guess by having pets, it's distracting him from the void.
Yeah, you're supposed to only care about the endless darkness and not about rats, I guess.
Right. Sure. So she's like, this cultist lady is like, you don't care enough about the void. And he's like, I don't care. I don't want to go into the void.
And she's like, okay, well, fuck you.
And then shoots him for realsies.
So into the void, I guess.
Yeah. But he says, like, one wild thing that he says, he's like, I don't want to go into the void. I'm scared. The stone takes over the mind and heart, not just the body. And I was like, oh?
Oh? Don't know what that means. Sounds bad, though.
Yeah. And so you can continue on, and the one thing you really need to know about this place is it's fucking hard to sneak around.
It's so annoying, and, like, if you kill everyone, you can just kill people, but it might cause problems for you later if you don't hide their bodies well, which happened to me, who kind of just killed people and left them and forgot that it was going to cause problems for me later.
Okay, I just killed them and left them, and it did not cause a problem for me.
I don't know. We can talk about it later, but yeah, I also tried to listen to some of them, and mostly, like, there's just, like, a lot of cultists standing around, and they're, like, talking about people, like, walking the path of the envisioned, and, like, how the dead see with more clarity.
Yeah, and like, also they have really interesting conversations, but they are clustered in ways that makes it absolutely impossible to take any of them out without them seeing each other.
Which I guess is because this is, like, it made me really want Domino. I wanted Domino so bad.
I also wanted Domino so bad.
And I think in New Game Plus, you can use, like, powers from Dishonored 2, and I think Domino is one of them. And I was like, oh my god, I wish I was doing that right now.
That would have made life so much easier. Because, yeah, they're all basically clustered around each other.
Yeah, but, and also, if they kill you, they, like, the things they say are very, interesting, mostly just because, like, They're like ask you about the void because you're about to go there because you're gonna die. So one of them was like, "Tell me about any visions that you see."
I won't be coming back.
Like, I don't. I'm not gonna tell you shit. You are killing me currently. Don't appreciate it. Anyway,
well, it's fine. But yeah, so you can continue to sneak around this area. I just killed all the cultists because it's honestly such a hassle to have them alive. And, like, I've already done this game by doing Ghost, and it was so hard. I was like, I'm not...
This mission would be very hard to do
it
Ghost.
It was so hard. It took me ages to get around this place without anyone seeing me.
It is the last mission of the game. I guess it's meant to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but...
Uh-huh.
But yes.
Listen, I find it much harder later, so whatever.
That's true. But yeah, so you can continue... Oh, and if you use, like, your void gaze, basically, there's this one very strongly glowing thing very far away, and Billy will look at it and say, what is that? It burns. And that's what we're going to go find.
Yep, it's the, did they tell you, it's the eye of the dead god or whatever.
You kind of piece it together, because if you kill some of the cultists in, like, the front yard, they all have, like, a bunch of lists that says, like, we're communing with the eye tonight. I was like, okay. So that was, like, fun.
Yeah, so I love to commune with the eye.
I do, I love to commune with the eye.
Yeah, so that becomes your mission marker, is, like, get to that.
Yeah, it's weird.
And you have to, like, do a... It's, like, you need to, like, go up this elevator, and there's, like, a puzzle where it has to have a certain amount of weight on it, so you just have to go throw bodies on it. I don't understand why this is the way it is.
Oh, yeah. I always forget what I'm supposed to throw on it, and I just go the other way.
That's so much valid.
Especially because I hid the bodies on top of the roof, and I was like, I don't want to deal with moving them.
Yeah, I just, elevator. Like, got there, and I was like, okay, and then I just, like, turned around and went out and killed them and got them.
But yeah, so you can go up the elevator or go up, like, a mine shaft, basically. It makes no difference. And you come up to the top of this building, and it's mostly gated off, except there's, like, an overturned mine car that allows you, like, because it's on its side, so you can crawl through it around the gate that's blocking off the only opening here.
Oh, I thought that, like, you had to use foresight to get through this.
No, you can just crawl.
God damn it. I, like, this took me forever because I could not figure out how to get through it. And then I was like, oh, well, you have to do that thing with foresight that I never do. But I guess there was another way to do it. Whatever.
You can just crawl. How did you get through here every single other time?
I think I've only played this mission one time before, because I got an achievement for, like, doing something that I thought I had already done. So, anyway.
Yeah, you can just crawl through. So you crawl. Whatever. Through the mine car, and you see several cultists standing with their backs to you, and they're watching this fucking freaky, horrifying stone monster walk through the wall and then walk through a different wall and disappear.
And they seem to think this is fine.
Actually, in fact, one woman says, "We're so blessed to see the passing of the envisioned twice in one day." It's like, I don't anyway, think that's blessed.
I don't think it's blessed to turn into a rock.
Right. And so this woman and her friend will start to walk away, and they'll kind of, like, postulate and theorize, like, oh, do you think they are, like, not capable of remembering us, or do you think, like, they just don't want to, or they can't see things, like, outside the void? So it's, like, a very interesting philosophical question for them.
But, I mean, I guess I would be interested if my friends turned into a rock and just walked around but didn't say anything to me.
Yeah, well, as they're leaving, one of the guys says, like, oh, yeah, this scientist man theorizes that actually they remain, like, they retain their sentience, they just don't talk to us.
They're just too cool now.
And the woman is like, oh, well, if I ever get blessed to be chosen to turn into one, I will remember my fellow cultists. So I was like, okay, you're gonna turn into a rock?
And you're gonna remember your friends? Okay.
Yeah. And the man walking with her is like, that's what they all say, but they never do. So I went and killed them.
That was nice of you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a very weird place to run around in, like the mines of Shindere Peak.
Yeah, it's a little grody.
Yeah, it's like just... I don't really know how to describe it. Like, again, a lot of cultists are clearly having a good time here.
It's very eerie. The music here is, like, very weird. Like, it's meant to unsettle you, and it works.
Yeah, it's very... There's something slightly, like, discordant about it that is a little spoopy. And basically... Mostly what's in here is people, and spooky books that remind you that no humans should live here.
Yeah, it's basically like if they just put a library in this mineshaft, I guess. Like in a quarry. I guess this is a quarry because they're not, I don't know. I mean, I don't actually know anything about mines.
Yeah, they just put a library in this mineshaft. They just live in here.
But yeah, if you like walk a particular way, you hear these two people talking about Melodikai, I think was his name. Is that his name? Oh wait, did you not do this?
I did, yes. There's like a sort of engine room and you can overhear two people talking about some guy like Melodikai, Michio, something, Machiavelli, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
who was killed for violating several commandments. And I was like, well, I love a rule breaker. And if you, in the room that people are, like, the people are talking about it right next to his room, which is locked.
Yeah, and, like, I was, like, ignoring this later and tried to go into it, and it's like, it's locked, you need his key.
Yeah, you need his key. And there's, I mean, like, there's not really a ton here. There's a cultist diary where he talks about how he woke up with a stiff shoulder and realized that actually he's starting to turn to stone.
Yeah.
And he was really excited about it.
That's what I want for my life. Great. Yeah, and these people are just, like, talking about how Melodikai, like, basically got killed because he wanted to go to this thing called the Ritual Hold, which I guess you're not allowed to do, and so he died.
Well, that's fine.
And so now I want to go to the Ritual Hold. That sounds fun.
Let's do it. Let's go find it. And there's also, like, some interesting books about, like, the rituals of, like, the Outsider. There's one specifically that was, like, wondering how the Outsider speaks, like, how much sentience the Outsider has as opposed to how much the Void is working through him. And I was like, okay, actually, if this were, like, a college major, I'd be supremely into this.
I mean, this is, like, basically all these people are just, like, majoring in, like, Void studies. They're just doing it in the weirdest fucking way possible.
They're basically, like, art majors.
Yeah, they're just art. They're fucking philosophy majors.
God, they really are. And there's also one book talking about how, like, it's only simple superstition that people born on, like, certain days with certain stars are lucky. But these cultists did read all the stars and find out who they needed to kill and turn into a god. So,
it's like, listen, astrology is fucking fake, and except for when we do it to pick someone to kill and turn into god, and then it's real as hell.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Then you could just go up. Get closer and closer to the little eye thing. And
it's really hard, and I died a lot.
Did you? I just killed everyone.
I was trying not to kill people, and then I gave up.
No, it's like there's so many people, and they're all in eyesight of each other, and there's no walls anywhere in this place. I was like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, that's valid.
They just have like a 4-story library built into their mine shaft with no walls. I'm like, it's not happening.
I guess they have good security.
I guess they do. So if you get close to the eye, this actually really stumped me the first time I played this. There's two women just being really horny about the Outsider.
Yeah, this one lady is like, isn't it tantalizing to, like, think about what would happen if you talked to the Outsider? And the other lady is like, chill.
She's like really weird about
that's,
it. She's
that's
like,
you and me.
Yeah, it was really, honestly, it was like, all right, this is a little weird.
it was a little weird, yeah.
She, like, takes it a little far when she's talking about his youthful form. I'm like, ma'am.
And she's also like, oh, like, in the old records, there's this one person, she's horny for vampires, because she's like, oh, there's, like, a story about one of them, like, being invited to, like, suck blood from his wound or whatever, and the other lady is like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it was actually really funny, but if you sit there and watch them, like, they'll eventually separate and go on their patrol, and one of them will just walk into a fucking wall and disappear, and you're like, wow, that's inconvenient, because now I can't kill her.
Oh well, I guess she's somewhere else now.
And this took me so long to figure out, but, like, you have to climb up, like, the cliffside, and there's, like, a little crawl space you can crawl through.
Yeah, to, like, basically drop down to, like, basically, if you get into the crawl space, there's, like, a, I guess it's an eye. It just looks like a big piece of black stone, like, embedded in the wall.
It looks completely like an eye.
I guess.
It's definitely an eye.
I guess so. I mean, I feel like they made you, like, they called it an eye already. So it's like, of course, I don't know. It looks like an eye.
Like, straight down, like, it looks, it's the exact shape of an eye. It even has, like, the little tear ducts of eyes.
Okay, well, I don't know anything, and I don't use my eyes. We've discussed this.
Like, also, this is a very small area, and, like, basically one wall holding the eye looks like a very giant statue, and this, what you're allowed to see, is like a third of the face, like just the eye and the slip of the nose. That's what this is.
Yeah. Okay, I was just like, it's probably a whale eye.
No, I think it's definitely a human eye.
That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, I have to go get a picture of this to prove it to you.
I believe you. I just didn't look at it very hard. Because I don't, again, use my eyes. Anyway, touch it. Eye. If or it's like you hit square on it, and Billy is not into it. She says something. I don't know what she says, but she's like, ugh.
She says, it's watching me. It's been a part of me since this all started. It's cold, dead, but it still sees. And for me, the implication here is that that eye is in her eye.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, her weird void eye situation.
Her weird void eye. So you can touch it, and wow, now you also can see things.
Yeah, it's like you touch it, and it's like, it feels like you go somewhere, but when, it's like you're in the same place, except it's like grayscale. I mean, right. It kind of is.
I probably would have said, like, you touch the eye and it turns from, like, red to black, but sure, it goes to grayscale.
How is that different than being grayscale?
I guess the implication, which to me would be that grayscale is everywhere as opposed to just the eye.
Well, I think everywhere is kind of like, anyway, you're in the void now.
Yeah, you're in the ritual hold. So if you turn around, instead of being in this tiny little cave you are in, you will see just a giant, like, a giant balcony, basically, with, like, lots of obsidian void rocks and, like, gray mist. And you're like, wow, somehow I just don't think I was here before.
Yeah, it's, like, weird, but I didn't move or anything. And then as you, like, wander around unthinkingly, you will get a scary thing will immediately sneak up behind you and one-shot kill you.
Okay, see, this didn't happen to me this time, and I was like, I know. Like, I've played this mission a lot. I know exactly where that rock monster is. And it didn't show up, and I was like, this is more terrifying.
I think it's like, for me, because it was like, I just killed those ladies and left them lying. And, like, the people that you killed are still here, even though it's like, the area is kind of different than the area you left. But, like, the people, it's the same people. And so if you say killed some people and left their bodies just wherever, then the stone monsters who are here now will be alerted and they can teleport. So they can immediately teleport behind you and kill you, and you will scream if you are me.
These are actually by far, this and the tall boys are like the most terrifying parts of Dishonored. And these are also like the envisioned is what they're called, horrifying stone monsters.
They're the pointy friends, is what I like to call them.
They're what?
I don't know. The pointy friends.
Yeah, sure. They're pointy and they're friendly. Uh-huh.
So, the first time I played this mission, I was, like, streaming it. And so, Ruby definitely heard me, like, scream multiple times every time one of these killed me.
Because they literally terrifying. Kill you they in teleport. One hit.
Yeah, they're they teleport. Like, I've never successfully killed one.
You have to, like, you can't use, like, most of your powers. You can't use most of the things you have. You either have to use, like, grenades, like your Voltaic gun, and that's like pretty much it. They don't trigger hook mines.
Semblance doesn't work on them, I checked.
Yeah,
because obviously they can see through it, which duh.
Yeah, so they basically, you have just to keep hitting them with like grenades and gunshots until they like stagger and fall down to their knees, in which case you have to immediately get right next to them and like go in for the kill, and it'll do like a killing animation,
or
where you shove your knife into their rock face and break it apart, and while it's breaking apart, their insides are glowing.
See, I've never seen this because I've never done this. That's terrifying.
Thank you.
Or you can do what I do and immediately like blink away 3 times in a row, and usually that works to get away from them.
They're so terrifying.
Truly, like, this part of the mission is really hard because there's a bunch of Envisioned wandering around, and fucking scary because there's a bunch of Envisioned running around.
And they can sense you if you're close. It's not just even, like, a line of sight sort of thing. If you're too close to them, they can and will teleport near you.
Ugh. It's very effective for, like, making this part of the mission seem like you're in, like, a fucking horrifying alien world, but also I hate it.
It's so effective. I hate it. So you can keep wandering around. Anyway.
And oh, if he, wait, there's a body here.
Yeah, Melodikai is here.
You can speared. Steal his shit. Yeah, he mega dead.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Anyway, you can steal his key, which will let you into his little room. And also, he has a note that basically he's like, he really wanted to continue researching the void, so he wanted to get into the ritual hold, and this is what happened.
So that one, you know, fine for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not dead or anything. Not at all.
Yeah, it's, you know, listen, sometimes you die, and I can, that just
really
happens.
Dishonored?
No one has ever died in Dishonored, especially not any of these people.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially not me. yeah, I didn't really, from here, I just, like, went straight back to, like, where his stuff was.
I did too, because there's, like, there was nothing else here, and the Envisioned are scary.
Yeah, and it's, like, you basically, it's, like, it kind of, it's, like, basically you go back the way you came, and some things are different, but some things are the same, and there's Envisioned here, and I don't like it. Yeah, so you can go to Melodikai's secret room, where he has a nice little safe, and also his diary.
And an audiograph player.
Yes, and an audiograph. And his audiograph is basically talking about how he can't get into the ritual hold, but, and also, like, is about talking about a dead language that he's trying to decipher, and there's, like, parts of it written on the wall behind you, and you can see that parts of it make up the outsider's mark.
Yeah. It's actually super, super interesting.
It is really cool. And basically, like, he's, like, saying that the outsider's mark is a word in this old dead language.
Yeah.
And also, it's the safe code.
Yeah, it's the safe code. He's, like, written out different, like, the 9 or 10 different, like, letters in this alphabet. And if you can just use the 3 that make up the outsider's mark, and that's the safe code.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for numbering these, even though you just said they were letters.
I know.
And his diary is in there.
Very convenient for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can open his diary, and basically what he says is that the outsider's mark is the outsider's name.
So I guess it's 3 letters based on how many of it makes up the safe code.
I'm, like, not, interestingly, like, I'm really interested in how this language theoretically works. Though, obviously, I know that they really probably did not do any amount of the, yeah, like, linguistic research into it that I would be interested in, because it's a video game and they're only talking about one word.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think they actually did any of it, but, like, I'm sure they did
it. There would be no point in doing it, except for, to us, who would be supremely interested in it.
It would be cool extra material, but I would rather they give me more outsider content.
That is technically outsider content.
I guess so. Yeah, I would be, if I was, like, a linguistics person, I would be interested in someone, like, making a whole fake language out of this.
Right, yeah. No, but it's really interesting. I mean, like, I don't know, I didn't write down his diary, and I'm really annoyed by myself with that, and...
He's like, it's the outsider's name, and he basically says when he was killed, they, like, with the knife, it took his name away. And so if his name is returned to him, the ritual will be undone and he'll be human again. And it also says something about how, like, basically that some people thought that spirits could, like, understand this dead language. And by spirits, he means dead people who live in the void. So, like, you personally can't read his name, but if you find a dead person to read it to you, then that will be his name. Then they can read his name. And they can help you make him human again.
Yeah, see... I didn't retain any of this information because I already knew I was going to kill the outsider.
There you go. So basically this is...
Like,
this
I have of... done this before. I've done both endings before. But I knew that Sarah probably... I was like, Sarah probably won't kill the outsider, so I'll kill the outsider.
I mean, you're right. So the first time I played this game, like, the game doesn't really force you to, like, do all this stuff about this guy. And if you don't do it, you can get all the way up to the end and, like, not have found the other way yet. And so that's what I did when I first played this game. And so I had only killed the outsider, mostly out of laziness, because I didn't want to go back and do this, because you have to do this to be able to save him.
And it's so scary.
Yeah, and this area is terrifying. And I was like, I'm not going back. I'm going to watch the fucking ending on YouTube. And I did.
Fair enough.
And now I'm here, and I finally played it again. Yay.
There you go. So now you can go to the ritual hold, is what?
Yeah, and it's, I think it's through some dialogue you basically understand, like, this is where the outsider was killed. So it's, like, where his body is, I guess?
I guess so. I was gonna describe how we got there first, but...
Yeah, I don't know, it's a little unclear.
I mean, it's not super, it's not that it's unclear, it's just that it's stupid.
Well, okay.
It's not stupid. It's like you go back exactly the way you came, avoiding the envisioned, and this time, like, you are now in the void, kind of, so you would be completely unable to leave Shindarae Peak, because you get out to, like, the front mine yard where there's envisioned walking around. If you take, you know, the dead body elevator down, and there's just, like, a lot of black stairs leading up to, like, this glowing, pulsing blue light.
Yeah, so it's like, you can't leave, you're here now.
Yeah. I'm gonna touch that light.
And you do, and the music, like, slows down.
Yeah, you do, and then you wake up in the ritual hold, which is, I mean, I guess the best way to describe it would be if there was light at the bottom of the sea and you were sitting on the seafloor.
There are whales flying around.
Yes, it's, like, really gray, and it's, like, it's kind of like if you mixed being underwater and being in really dense fog together.
Or like it felt like a shipwreck, but the shipwreck was like the void rock, basically.
Ooh, that's a great way of describing
Thank
it.
Thank you.
That was, yes, excellent.
I love a nautical metaphor. I wrote a lot of them one time. and Billy says, he's here. I can feel it.
Yeah. And you're just standing out, like, on a black rock, or some rocks in the middle of the water, and I was curious, so I tested this out. I just got off the rock and wanted to see how far I could walk, and the answer is not far before you drown.
Because you're just really supposed to go up to this, like, a big raised rock where the outsider is.
Yeah, but I wanted to know.
Well, and now you know, you die.
Well, I mean, I personally swam back up and stood up on some rocks, but...
All right, well... Also, there's like these lights kind of hanging around, like these little blinky, like vertical lights floating that are spirits, basically.
Yeah, they kind of look like, you know, like the little like Sim diamonds.
Aw, yeah, they look like plumb bobs.
Yes, plumb bobs. They look like just like white, fuzzy plumb bobs.
But if the plumb bobs were dead people.
What is a Sim if not?
If not a dead person? Yeah. I haven't ever played The Sims, so I can't dispute that.
Wow.
I know, isn't it wild?
That is wild. Really, you've never played The Sims?
No, it's like, I never had it as a kid, and it's not really the kind of game I think I would enjoy. Like, I don't really do Stardew Valley either. We're getting off track.
Sorry, yes, I'm so curious about this once we're done. I have a lot of questions.
Okay, well, as you can approach this, like, weird rock where the outsider is, and there are some spirits here that are more like people, and some of them will say things, and one of them is Dowd.
Hey, Dowd.
Hey, Dowd.
I do believe I walked up to this rock and I saw Dowd. I was like, oh, what's that bitch?
What's that bitch? You're dead, but you're here now.
So you can go talk to Dowd.
Yeah, and I did a thing that made me very sad, which is I stood by him and listened to what he said if you didn't talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about his mom for a really long time.
That is so sad. What did he say?
He said, okay, I wrote all this down. It's a whole fucking paragraph.
Good.
And he said like a line at the time, but I just kept sitting here like texting and listening to everything that he said. So he says, where is my mother? This place. Where is my mother? She had so many names, all spoken softly. I didn't know which one to use. I remember her hands. She pinched my cheek whenever she didn't want me to forget something she said. She had hair like black smoke. Her eyes were warm. She smelled like those flowers that only open up at night. She sang me her mother's songs when I was a boy. I lost them all. I lost her voice. If I could hear those songs again. She died the day I left her side. She died each time I let the thoughts of her fade away. I hoped I would find her here, but I don't remember her face. I lost her forever. The void took her away. All the things I have turned to ash, swept away by these pale winds. All I have left are these wounds. You bastard, you knew. You took everything from me. You knew. You knew. And then he stops talking.
Wow.
It's like, I had never heard any of that before, and it's so, like, it's like that he starts off, like, being like, I can't remember my mom, and wraps around to, like, this is the outsider's fault, I think, that I can't remember my mom.
I do think it's interesting, though, because throughout, like, all of the games, people talk about the Void as if it does exist as a sort of afterlife.
Yeah, and like here it clearly is, because dead people are here.
But not all dead people.
Yeah, it seems to be, like,
hashtag not all dead
people. Hashtag not all dead people. I feel like it's probably people who are, like, I mean, I guess that's the normal ghost thing, is that you stay if you're, like, unsettled or whatever, because, like, Doubt's clearly having a bad time. All these other sure people is. Don't, all these other people who are here don't really say much, but they seem to be having a bad time.
Yeah, like, they kind of are screaming a little.
They sure are. yeah, it's but then terrible. You can actually, then you can talk to Doubt after you've heard him monologue about his mom for 5 minutes.
So sad.
And, like, been miserable.
I am miserable, but yes, Billy, you know, like, will talk to Doubt, and she's like, hey, what's up? Why are you here?
She sounds pretty upset.
Yeah, she does sound very upset. Basically, like, Doubt is clearly having some memory problems, and he just, like, kind of, like, talks himself in circles a little bit. And he's, yeah. like, saying that he's trapped here, waiting for the knife to fall. And Billy's like, Doubt, oh my, Doubt, like, why are you here? Can you hear me? And he's like, I know that name. I know you. There is blood, a knife. Billy Lurk. Do you remember when you hated me?
It's like, okay. Like,
wow. Yes, I actually think, according to canon, I think about it frequently all the time. And then he looks at the outsider and he's like, I wonder if he dreamed about this moment. Go end his miserable life.
And Billy's like, yeah, she's like, he almost looks like he's in pain. Is this really what you want? Is this really what he deserves?
And then Dad says, you know how this ends, Billy. And I think maybe I should have been clear about this, but what Doubt is pointing to is, like, a half-human, half-stone effigy of, like, well, basically, it's, I presume, the outsider's real body.
Yeah, and he's screaming. It's fine. Yeah.
I mean, like, not audibly, but...
Like, he's, like, his mouth is open, and he's, like, he's yes. yelling.
He is screaming. I just want to be clear that we are not hearing
it. Yeah, that would suck.
I'd be like, wow, I'm gonna kill you just to stop this. So you could walk up to him, and, you know, Billy's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, she's like, look at you. This is what the Abbey tried to hide. This is what the Eyeless want to know about. I'm at the center of the Void itself, and you're not even some kind of horror I need to face down and fight. And she touches his face in a way that is, frankly, a little weird.
Yeah, it's like, she's like, you know in movies when, like, ants squish your cheeks?
It's like that, yeah.
And Connor just doesn't look that. Yeah, that's kind of what she does. She squishes his stone little cheeks.
Yeah, and she says...
It's so weird.
She says...
But, like, really harshly, like, she might be trying to crush his jaw.
And, well, because he's kind of partially a rock, so it's understandable.
Yeah, he's partially a rock.
But no, and she says, you're at my mercy. But you've always been at the mercy of bad people, haven't you? You said I had a choice. Well, I'm here to make it. And then you get popped up to, like, make a choice. Also, yes, I really like that line about mercy, because it's good.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Should I go first, or do you want to go first? I think I should go first.
Yeah, I think you should go first.
It's less complicated.
It's, yeah,
you go first. I just killed him. I chose to end the Black-Eyed Bastard, which is, I believe, what the little, like, choice marker says.
It says, I haven't changed my mind, you Black-Eyed Bastard.
Yeah. So if you choose that option, Billy will say, I've seen what you wanted me to see, Black-Eyed Bastard, and it doesn't change a thing. And she will take the knife and press it against, like, the stone of where his heart would be. And he sort of, like, bleeds from stone into human and then starts bleeding from the mouth. And also, you know, his gaping chest wound.
It's fine.
And it, like, zooms in a little bit on his eyes, which, if you might recall, it's been a while since we've described the outsider. But all of his eyes are just black.
And I like how you say all of his eyes, as if he might have more than two. He only has two.
Well, I meant not just, like, having black eyes, but uh-huh. like, the oh, whites yeah, of his okay, eyes okay. are
black. Yeah, they're solid black.
Just, yeah, like, the whites of his eyes are also just black, but as you're watching, they fade away into completely normal human eyes, which are green. And then as you keep watching, they turn red with blood because you killed him. And
oh my, I didn't realize they still turn green if you killed him.
Yeah.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah, he turns, yeah.
That makes me feel awful.
They turn green if you kill him.
I hate that. Okay, anyway.
He is human again. For one moment.
Also, yeah. And Billy says, this is how it ends, this is how it always ends, when she stabs him, which also makes me fucking miserable.
Yeah. And then Dad says, he's the knot at the center of the world, and it'll finally change. And Billy says, the world might change, but we won't. Killers never change.
And she looks at the knife.
She sure does. All right, your turn.
Oh my god, okay. So this is complicated. So if you're like, so if you choose the other choice that isn't killing him, you can say, you don't deserve this. No one deserves this. I won't let the world turn on someone suffering. And then you're like, okay, well, so what I have to do is get someone to tell him his name. I'm not dead, so I can't read his name. Doubt over there is dead, so he can read his name. So go. So you go and talk to Dowd, and you basically tell him, like, hey, I found another way, like, the cultists took everything from him and his, like, including his name, but then his name, like, is the mark, and only the dead can read it, which I just found out 5 minutes ago, and if you go read it to him and give him his name back, he'll be free, and he'll live out his days, like, as a human. And Dowd is, basically, you have to stand here and convince Dowd to do it, because Dowd is like, no, like, what are you talking about?
It does seem like a horrendous idea.
I think it's a great idea. Shut up.
I know you think it's a great idea, but I'm just trying to sit here imagining if there was, like, a whale god out there who had an entire religion devoted to hating him because he mostly ruined people's lives.
It's not his fault. We can't do
this
right
now. It's not his fault, but I'm just saying, if someone were telling me, maybe we should save that guy and let him be human, I'd be like, no.
Well, okay, so Mr. Doubt Apologist over here.
But I'm not saying that he's right in this case. I'm just saying I would probably not go out here and be like, I'll just turn, you know, a god into a human.
Whatever. I guess that's fine. But yeah, basically you have to go through a bunch of dialogue options with Doubt, and each time you have an option to argue with him or basically be like, you're right, and then turn back around and kill him. Like, Billy will be like, why is he to blame for what we did? Like, he never lied to us about what we might become. And Dowd is like, listen, he always knew. And, like, he knew we would turn into monsters like him. And then Billy's like, I saw the cult hurt him. He died at one of their hands. Like, this wasn't his choice. He didn't ask for this power. And then Dowd is like, okay, then put him out of his misery if you pity him. It's a better future than anything that might wait for him out there. And, like, I thought that was interesting is, like, the response to that where you agreed to him was her saying, I can't throw him to the streets again. Which is, I don't know, I thought that was, like, pretty sad.
That was pretty sad.
But, yeah, and then if you disagree with him again, she says, but does he have to die? Years ago, I did something terrible to you. I didn't deserve to live. But you let me walk away. You gave me a chance. Let him live, Dowd. Let him have the life he lost, like you did for me. And then Dowd says, when you left Dunwall, I hoped you could live a better life without me, that your future wouldn't be killing for coin until someone came to betray you. Forgiveness is a rare thing in this world, Billy. You're better than I was. And then he'll, like, turn and walk to the outsider and whisper in his ear. And then he, like, Billy, like, as he does it, he kind of, like, starts to, like, fade away. And, like, Billy will say his name and he'll, like, tell her goodbye and say that, like, it's the last time, and he'll fade away, and the outsider, like, he, like, opens his eyes and, like, kind of, like, stumbles a bit, and Billy catches him, and he says, I can taste blood in my mouth. I can hear Dowd's voice in my ear. You have done something impossible. And Billy says, we let you live. I can take you out of here. And the outsider says, these eyes were closed for centuries, and I saw everything. Bound here, I walked through the minds of generations. And Billy says, and now you're free. And you can see his eyes, which are green and not filled with blood because you did not stab him. Because you're nice.
Coward.
Yeah. And then it goes into the ending.
Right. So that's fun.
This game's good.
It is good. Shall we do the outros?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, okay. You do your outro.
I will do my outro. So after you kill him, you will get a lovely shot of Billy, like, basically, what's that fucking Italian thing? Like, the Pieta?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, sorry, maybe you've not studied art history.
I haven't!
That's fine. Sorry, that wasn't supposed to be a judgment. I studied abroad and they were really into Italian art history. It's the thing where after... God, sorry. Where Mary, like Mother Jesus, will cradle her son after he has been pierced.
I saw a sculpture today that was based on that.
Yes, like, that's, like, a pretty famous pose and, like, thing throughout all of art history. So that's basically what Billy is doing here. Aww. She's, like, holding the outsider and playing piano.
Because he's fucking dead, yeah.
Because he's dead. And so it'll be, you know, some sad shots of her. And she says, "What happened is what had to happen. Maybe it's not fair, but I can't think of much that is. I know the guilty never get what they deserve. I know the black-eyed bastard never did. But with the knife in his heart, I've evened the score. He died for the people twisted by his magic. Cults, witches, killers. For all the madness and chaos they've caused. For Dowd, for me. And after all this, I'm still just a murderer. There's so much doubt, but there are some things I know are true. The outsiders know more, and with that, the world will change in ways none of us can know. But the void is still there, echoing just beyond what you can see. And there's no one left to say who will and won't be touched by its magic." And that's it.
Yeah.
And I feel a completely normal amount of things about that.
You feel a normal amount of things about the fact that Billy's like, yeah, I'm always going to be a killer and I can't change. You feel good about that? Okay. Yes. And you feel good about the fact that Doubt is wandering the void forever and never, like, fades away or knows peace?
I mean, like, that sucks for him, but he did murder a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, like, dude. I'm not so much of a Doubt apologist. I'm like, oh, he deserved better. Like, the man did not.
I know. I mean, but it's so sad, right? That it's like that you can see, like, he gets to know peace if you save the outsider, but if you don't, he's just there, just chilling.
I mean, I don't really think along the same lines as that because I have, like, a fair amount of qualms about Doubt's storyline here and how it ties into, like, the greater themes of the game as a whole. Yeah. But
whatever.
Your turn.
Fair enough. Okay, so my ending, I think it's the images, some of the images are the same, but it's like, it's basically like,
oh,
Billy.
Yeah, wait, I forgot.
Like, yeah, talk about the images, wormwood deceit, bitch.
Yeah, one of the images is like Billy standing over like a wormhole, basically about to jump back through time, like the wormwood deceit, which of course we still know nothing about.
I know, it's like, I love how here they're like, oh, right, we have to explain how she like did that one time, and then they like don't, but they just show it.
I know.
Anyway, remember when she showed up at the very end of the Wormwood Deceit, like, from a cool portal with her cool eye situation? I guess that happened after this.
Sure did.
But yeah, so, that if you don't kill him, the ending is basically, like, her leading him out of the Shindere, and he, like, gets the sun in his eyes, and is trying to shade his eyes. And it's great. And she says, "I can't take back what was done to you all those years ago. No more than I can take back what was done to me. But now you have a chance to be something new, to be something better. It must be strange knowing what you know, seeing with old eyes all the secrets of the world. We've both seen the worst in people's hearts. But in the end, I gave Dowd peace. And maybe you can find some too. There's so much doubt, but there are some things I know are true." And then basically she says the same thing. She says, "The outsiders know more, but with that, the world will change in ways none of us can know. But the void is still there, echoing just beyond what you can see, and there's no one left to say who will or won't be touched by its magic." Also, still, like, it's, like, that shot of her standing over the portal. So right. It's, like, I guess no matter what, she does that, because they won't commit to what ending's canon. We can, anyway. But yeah, that's the end of the game.
We did it.
We did the whole thing.
This episode is getting long.
I assume we'll do the wrap-up like as a separate thing, because I want to say things about parallels.
I have a lot of things to say, obviously, so why we make the podcast. So
I am curious to hear your Dowd thoughts, because I do, that is one of the things about this game that is a little odd. Although I think I like it better than you do.
I know, yeah, you probably do, and it's really not too bad, but I'll get into it.
Yay.
So for now, we'll just say bye.
All right. Where can people find you on the internet, Claire?
Just kidding. We won't say bye. You can find me on Twitter at Surrealist Trees. And the intro and outro music is Goosebeak Whale by Alps. And I will put a link to that in the show notes.
You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. You can find the show at Drunken Whalers. That's it. That's all the things I have to say.
Great. Yeah. Okay, bye for real now.